Last Shemitah, I was learning Rishalmis, possibly Rishalmis, Sechah Shvias. So I was happened to be in Tveria at the time. So I was sitting in Tveria, overlooking the Kinneret, and learning a sugi in Rishalmi and Shvias. So all of a sudden I started to get goosebumps, because Rabbi Yochanan was the one who wrote him. This Tamidim were the ones who wrote the Rishalmi. They lived in Tveria. This is mamash where the words of Rishalmi were written. Helig Rabbi Yochanan's yeshiva, right by the beach, right by the Kinneret. I was starting to shake, thinking, Mamash, I'm delving into the words of Rabbi Yechon, Mamash, right where Rabbi Yechon himself lived. So right now we're in Washington Heights, we're not in Tveria, but we have to like close our eyes for a minute and put ourselves back into the yeshiva in Tveria. We have to think how Rabbi Yechon is going to learn the next sugya, because everything we're talking about today is revolving around the statement of Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon made this grandiose declaration in Maseches Yevamos, in Maseches Kedushin, and Tosfos references in Maseches Sanhedrin. I'm Rabbi Yechon. The Halig Yeshiv Besnedish in Tveria, Rabbi Yechanan, what does he say? Ger, what? What was in Yeshiva that day? Ger, Tzar, Shloshim, Mishmik, Sivbet. Rabbi Yechanan tells us that Gerus requires three dayonim, a din that's practiced Adayim Mazer, and the source for Rabbi Yechanan's statement is Mishmik, Sivbet. So Tosfos on the spot in Sanhedrin raises a red flag on the statement of Rabbi Yechanan. That doesn't sound right. Ger, Tzar, Shloshim, Mishmik, Sivbet. It sounds like every single case under the sun of Mishpat requires three dayanim. Really? Is that true? It's not true. Says Taisus, Rabbi Yechanan himself was not a very big believer in Erev Parshios. And therefore, according to the simple reading of Sanhedrin, Dabez, and Mabez, those who deny Erev Parshios conclude that not every Mishpat requires three. Some Mishpatim require three. Some yes, some no. So how could Rabbi Yechanan make this blank? We don't have threes. Eight markers. More markers than guys in Yeshiva. On Sundays. So we have every mishpat under the sun requires three. It's just not a true statement. So how can Rabbi Yechanan make such a statement? It's just things and things and things, and Tosfos comes to the realization there's only one way to make any sense of Rabbi Yechanan. It must be that Rabbi Yechanan holds that all mishpat require three. It is inconceivable to have a mishpat less than three according to Rabbi Yechanan. So Tosfos got into a pickle. Tosfos says, but it's not true, because Rabbi Yechanan is an anti-Erev Parshios man. That's what led Tosfos to believe there must be some other sugya, some other mokar lurking in the background that we don't even know about. We read Sanhedrin Dabez and Mabez, we never heard of this mokar. Mishpat Echad Yelochem, and Tosfos took Rabbi Chanina and extrapolated from Rabbi Chanina and plugged it into Rabbi Chanina. Oh, Chad Gadya. Tosfos came just to solve this one problem, because they couldn't understand Rabbi Yechanan any other way. So their colleagues, the other Balei Tosfos in Maseches Kedushin, raised the same issue, raised the same point, and came to a radically different conclusion. Tosfos Maseches Kedushin, it says that in Hochinami, there, according to Rabbi Yochanan's worldview of Mishpatim, there are two kinds of Mishpatim. There are Mishpatim of three. Okay. So, one guy and seven to go. There are Mishpatim of three, and there are Mishpatim of one. Okay, there's Mishpatim of three, and there's Mishpatim of one good pen is worth eight terrible pens. There are Mishpatim of three, and there are Mishpatim of one. So, Maseches Kedushin, Tosfos and Kedushin learned the Gemara Kipshuta on Sanhedrin Dabez. Rabbi Yochanan, who's an anti-Erev Parshios man back from Baba Kama days, so he is an anti-Erev Parshios man in the Sugas of Sanhedrin Dabez, and Afal Pichein Geretzach Shloisha, Lisvah Shloisha, why three? Why isn't it good enough one? So Tosfos does not go the route of Tosfos and Sanhedrin, making up new drushes and extrapolating Rabbi Chaninas and a whole story. Tosfos says no. Alib de emes of Tosfos and Kedushin, there is an option of three and one, and Af al pi chein, Rabbi Yochanan opts for the three. Why does Rabbi Yochanan opt for the three? Tafas de mruva lo tafas, go for the one. So Tosfos develops a new principle. Tosfos says, not a new principle, but Tosfos' application is new. Tosfos says, we have a klal and a hekesh. No, hekesh is one of the midrash atarid drashas behem. It's not on the list of Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael is just the first 13. You can't have all the midrash atarid, otherwise you never get to Miz Mashiach. So Rabbi Yishmael will give you the kitzah version. There are 13 midrash atarid drashas behem, but there are a lot more. So hekesh is one of the midrash atarid drashas behem. So here the term is makish geirus to mishpat. Mishpat echad yelachem lager garitchem. The term is makish geirus to mishpat. Which kind of mishpat should we makish to? So it happens to be one of the details of the mead of hekesh, where the Kadosh Baruch Hu is meis the Rebbeinu, the mead of hekesh. So one of the klolim of hekesh, lechumra lekula, lechumra makshirin. we always got to be machmer. We're very, very religious. We're a Haredi version of Orthodox. We're very, very religious. Everything's a chumr. L'chum l'kula, l'chum l'makshinon. So comes Tyson and says, you have an option of where does the geirus. Does geirus go here, or does geirus go here? So we're from the machmirim, not from the makilim. But from the machmirim, very strict, very, very observant. So therefore, we opt for three dayanim rather than one dayan. That's the pshat in Rabbi Yochanan. So Baruch Hashem for that pshat. Therefore, we don't have to make up Mishpat Echad Yelachem. We don't have to revamp the Gemara and Sanhedrin that day. We don't have to make up stories about the Nefash. Forget the whole Mishpat Echad. Forget yesterday's Shia. Don't really forget yesterday's Shia. But forget yesterday's Shia, says Taizen Kedushin. L'chum l'ku l'chum makshin is going to get us to the same desired result of three dayanim. It is that Taizen Sanhedrin did not want to go down that route. Tyson Hedden was not interested, never heard of such a thing, they would never have gone down that route, and therefore they had to revamp Rabbi Yochanan. So as we ended off the show yesterday, Rabbi said, we have an Nekudas Machlaikis 2 days in Tyson, we asked Tyson Kedushin, what is the Nekudas Machlaikis? What is the root of this Machlaikis? How come Tyson Kedushin were comfortable going down the route of L'chum L'kul L'chum Makshinan? And Tyson Bayas didn't even raise that on the radar screen as a possibility. They would rather revamp and steal Mishpat Echad Yelachem and make a home to Drasha, then go down the route, the mistaken route, the erroneous route that the Balei Tais and Kedushin went down. What's the Nekudas Machlokes? So Rabbi say, we have to close the Sanhedrin, stop talking about Dayanim, stop talking about Geiris, and now learn a new sugya. You know what the new sugya is called? L'chum R'l'kul L'chum Akshinan. What do those words mean? What are the parameters of those words? Why Tais and Kedushin felt that that was an acceptable application of that principle? And why Tosfos and Sanhedrin, by not mentioning it, clearly understood that that was an incorrect application. So this sugya l'chum l'kul l'chum akshinan is usually presented in the Olam HaYeshivas in Maseches Bava Kama of Gimel Amud Aleph. The reason is twofold. Why is it spoken about there? Number one, Bava Kama is the Yeshiva Shemasechta, so the odds are you're going to learn it in Yeshiva. And number two, it's on Daf Gimel, so even if the Yeshiva never gets past Daf Beis, gets Daf Gimel, so the odds are you're probably going to see it. If it would be like on Daf Ches or something in Bava Kama, those Yeshivas wouldn't make it there. So Baruch Hashem has got two things going for it. Yeshiva Shemasechta and the early Daf of Yeshiva Shemasechta. It's a Tosfos Daf Gimel Medal. But we need a little bit of a background to understand, to appreciate what's going on in Sanhedrin and Kedushin through the eyes of Bava Kama. There are two mazikin in the Torah. There are many mazikin in the Torah, but there are two that the Gemara is addressing on Daf Gimel and Bava Kama. One of them is called the Nezek of Shein, and one is called the Nezek of Regel. There are certain similarities between the two, but there are certain differences as well. Shein means the animal eats something, enjoys it, gets a good meal. Regel means the animal tramples on the object. Those remember from Ksuba's days, we spoke a little bit about Bishas Arav, not Bishas Arav, the Hanor, the Mehezek, should hopefully bring out some nice memories. But there are two different mazikin, Shein v'Regel. What's the mokor for these two mazikin? Vishtei in the chumash atiz of mazikin. So the Gemara comments on the post in Pasha Mishpatim, v'shilach es be'iro, uvier v'shtei achir. So these are two different phrases. V'shilach es be'iro, be'iro means an animal. So he sends that as an animal. The animal does some kind of a damage through v'shilach, through walking, through trampling, that's regel. Uvier means to consume, to eat up, that's achidu, that's Shein. So these are the two makairis in the Tesha B'chsaf, for these two mazikin, of regel and Shein. So the Gemara comments in Bava Kama of Gimel that, you know, the connotation of the word v'shilach has a certain mashmos to it. What does v'shilach mean? V'shilach, the owner, is very active in what's happening. V'shilach means he sends his animals out. That means I know full well you have a field, and I send my animals, and I say, go. Go trample in that guy's field. V'shilach, I walk my animal over. Go. There it is, right there. Go step in the guy's grain. That's what the connotation of v'shilach means. It sounds like sholach shaluch. It means the owner, mamar, sent him out. Uvier doesn't sound that way at all. Uvier connotation that the animal went on its own. On the other hand, uvier has a certain connotation that v'shilach doesn't have. Uvier doesn't just mean a damage. What does ubir mean? To be mevar, a bir chometz. What does it mean to be mevar or something? Mamish destroyed the guy. There's nothing left. It's what we call, the Gemara calls, kal yakarna. It's done. The animal eats up the other guy's carrots. They're done. There's nothing left to them. What does v'shilach mean? V'shilach doesn't have the connotation that it's destroyed like amre. It just means it was damaged. If my animal walks on your crops and tramples the crops, so the crops may have gone down in value. They're not going to be able to get as much in the market for stepped on crops. On the other hand, they're not totally destroyed. So each word has a little bit of a different nuance of a connotation. So in theory, we could have insisted on the following. We could have insisted that when the Torah says Yechayef a regel, maybe the Torah is only talking about a type of a regel where you were mamish b'shaleach. It means you mamish sent the animal out. But if the animal walked on its own, henzain yepater. I could have made such an argument. Possible. I could have made such an argument that emechol b'lechidushay for shilach. Shilach is the connotation of shalchei shiluchei. If you didn't send the animal out, if it walked on its own, kenzain, you're going to be potter. So comes the Gemara and says, wrong. It's not true. You know why? How do we know it's wrong? Who saw the Gemara of a comment of Gimel? How do we know it's wrong? Why is that not a correct drasha? Why is that not a correct drasha? That doesn't sound bad to me. It's Lashon HaKodesh, Hebrew, right? Vishilach only means you mishalach shaluchi. How do you know the animal walked on itself? You also chaya. Says the Gemara, hikisha hakos of what? There's a hekesh between one and what? Shilach and Ubir, it's in the same pasuk. Just as Ubir doesn't have that connotation of only being chayav if you send it out, so too we have makish v'shilach to Ubir, just as Ubir is always chayav, so too v'shilach is always chayav, so mishaleach is not necessary. Even if the animal, I'm sleeping, my animal walked down on its own, I'm still held responsible. Okay. Then the Gemara turns around, flips around and says, Ubir has a certain connotation. The animal ate, and it mamish destroyed Lagamre. There's nothing left. Ubir atumo. What if the animal damages? It enjoys what it's doing, but it doesn't quite destroy it completely. Kenzain, I could have made an argument that what? I could have played devil. I could have said what? Maybe I'm potter. The Torah says ubir. Ubir means a total complete destruction. Kenzain, if the animal consumes it in such a way that it's not really totally completely consumed, can sign a potter, right? Possible, right? It's possible to make such a cheshbit. So comes the Gemara and says, no. Bad drasha, bad halacha. Why? Which pasuk teaches me, which word teaches me fakert? Vishilach. And what do I have in front of me? I have a hekish. So a tari hikisha, vishilach to ubiyah, and hikish ubiyah le vishilach. So vishilach ubiyah are basically equated to one another through the midah of hekish. That's the key to the meat of Hekesh. And therefore, I come to the following conclusions, that all those coolers that I would have had, don't forget that word, all those coolers, all those leniencies I would have had, namely, Vishilach is only if it goes by itself, Vishilach is only if I make it walk, Ubir is only if it's wholly consumed, all those possible limitations to Parshas HaMazik are not correct. The Hekesh in both directions teaches me, in effect, what? What's in our lingo, what's this Hekesh really teaching me? Don't follow the what? The coolers, but follow the chumras. Come taisis above a kam. Who's got a taisis? Who's got a taisis above a kam? Dav gimel. Fek taisis kasha. Vim time of a name a hipcha. Fek taisis. I also know how to make a hekish. Why do we make the hekish the exact opposite way? Namely, Vishilach teaches me you're only chayev if you send out. And who adinami? Shane is only chayev if you send the animal out. Ubir teaches me only if the item is totally consumed. Let's be makish to Vishilach, even by regular, only if it's totally consumed. Namely, let's take the same hekesh and turn it on its head and accept all the coolers in both. Why does the Gemara say you accept all the coolers? Why do you accept all the coolers? And the din should be that Shein Varegel is only chayev if two conditions are met. Both Shein Varegel require that you, as an owner, literally sent your animal out to do the damage, and the damage was such that it totally consumed the item. Unless both of those conditions are met, you should be totally potter. So Tais is playing a game with the Gemara. The Gemara said, the Svaras, the Havaminas, and the Gemara said, no, that's silly, it's wrong, it's wrong, Hekesh teaches me fakir. So Tais says, no, a Hekesh should teach me, and we're right, very no chenami. Let's use the Hekesh in the other direction, that's Tais's kasha. So Tais has already realized that someone's going to be looking at their kasha, and they're going to say, no, bad kasha. You know why? Tais already sensed that your initial reaction is going to be, what are you talking about? Right? So Tosis avoids that kasha. Tosis avoids that teretz, and Tosis really, really presents the kasha. It's a short Tosis, a small Tosis with a lot packed in. So Tosis asks, why? And don't tell me a story. L'chumra makshinan. The had the makshinan l'chumra. Hani mili be isura. Avab mamoin aloi. Taisa says, when can we talk about chumras and kulas? When you're learning Shabbos, I can tell you, if I tell you that you're not allowed to put the food back on the fire on Shabbos, that's a chumra. In kashrus, if I tell you you can't eat the meat, that's a chumra. In dini mamonis, that doesn't seem as in kulas. So you get the rice with chumra in dini mamonis. What the Taisa says that. A chumra means that either it's usur or it's mutter. When you're dealing in dini mamonis, a chumra is that, kulah is that. Even the money belongs to Reuven, right? We're going to be machmir to give Reuven the money. That's a chumra. You're taking the money away from Shimon. It's not a chumra. But in the moment, the concept of chumras doesn't make any sense. Either chayv or potter. Chumras make sense when the shayla is osra mutter. When the shayla is chayv or potter, the term chumra just falls by the wayside. So Tosfos is back to square one. So Tosfos says, so MK, once you tell me that the klal of chumra l'kul l'chumra shim doesn't make any sense, but in the moment is, so how come the Gemara made the hekesh in the direction of quote unquote the chumra of making the guy pay of the osra? Why don't we limit the pasha of azikin? So Tosfos is stuck back to square one. So Tosfos says, yes, the kasha and the Gemara, why is the hekesh making me pay more? Let's use the hekesh to make me pay less. And don't tell me a story of the chumra kulah, because that's irrelevant by dinim hamunis. That's a kasha. That's a pretty powerful kasha. Who thinks it's a good kasha? I think it's an amazing kasha of Tosfos. So comes Tosfos and answers to the following teretz. The Oimer Rabbeinu Tam, the Midah Hibateira, Loishna bi Surah Veloishna bi Mamoina. Huh? What did everybody say? What's your Rabbeinu Tam? Rabbeinu Tam says, no. The answer to the kasha is, L'chum l'kul l'chum makshinan. Because that klal, L'chum l'kul l'chum makshinan, applies even to the Mamonis. Rabbi said, B'chilis kovr, the Heilige Rabbeinu Tam, Mekor ma'isov l'sof ma'isov. What did Rabbeinu Tam solve? Taisa said, it's silly, it's ludicrous, it's absurd to apply the klal of l'chum l'kul l'chum makshinan by Mamonis, because by Mamonis, what shaykh l'chumras and kulas. So what did Rabbeinu Tam say? What Taisus a minute ago just called ludicrous and absurd. Taisus Rebbeinu Tam is a gazok. Rebbeinu Tam says, "Nivi b'teira, that's the way it is. That's a teretz. Those are Rebbeinu Tam. Rebbeinu Tam kol teira kula in front of his eyes, on his fingertips. You know, when you can't fight Rebbeinu Tam had such as ahavon in kol teira kula, it's a pill in this Rebbeinu Tam. Taisus a minute ago just showed compelling svara that l'chum l'kula makes no sense. Everybody agreed to what I said before. Nobody jumped on me. Nobody said anything. Nobody argued with me. So I could draw one of two conclusions. Nobody argued with me. Either one of three conclusions. Either nobody understood what I was talking about, or everybody was sleeping. So I don't want to be, it's chesh el. I don't want to think anything bad about any tamidim. So the only other logical conclusion is that everybody agreed with what I said. So everybody agrees, right? Everyone's awake, everyone's here, everyone's alive, everyone's well, everyone understands. So for the fact that nobody started screaming and throwing tomatoes at me, it shows that everyone agreed to what I said. So a minute ago you agreed that it's absurd to apply l'chum l'kul l'chum l'shim my moment is, and Rabbeinu Tam goes up, no, it's okay, you can do it, that's fine. So don't scream me, scream Rabbeinu Tam. You can scream Rabbeinu Tam. You can scream Rabbeinu Tam. If you're not screaming Rabbeinu Tam, don't ask me. Yeah.
I'm trying to understand. When we say in general that you don't apply a chum or a kula in a monetary case, it's usually because if we give the money to him or we keep the money by him, one guy's chumra is the other
right.
Guy's kula.
That's right.
But here we're not in a court case right now. We're trying to learn out the parameters of.
It's going
to
be a court case in a second. My animal is going to go and eat your fruit. So it's going to be a court case.
And what we're trying to figure out, though, is the extent of shame, what the parameters of shame are. We're not actually in a case of saying, should he keep it, should he not?
I mean, but you know, because you're learning in yeshiva, you're learning bavakam, you're not sitting on a dintar, passing chashmishma. But at the end of the day, what ends up out of the base medrash is going to end up in the court. Someday there's going to be an animal that's going to eat something, and we're going to have to paskin. We're going to go back to the yeshiva, bavakam, and we're going to say, hey, based on a chumra, sveka derais l'chumra, we just made a guy pay money. That's a no-no. So the Taisa is mamish apel, mitzchil v'yatzoich, this Taisa is apel. New Rabbi say, yeah. That's very nice, but what about the other guy? Right? That's my kasha. I want to be fair in Dini Mamonis. I don't want to be from in Dini Mamonis. I want to be fair in Dini Mamonis.
You say that the aspect of
Kapara involved? Kapara. It's a Kapara. It's Mamonis. This is Mamonis. I broke a window. I got to pay the money. Right? We're going to get to that. Okay, that's what you really meant to ask. So Rabbi Isai, we need some work over here. Now, you know what we got to work on? We got to go back to the drawing board and back to this principle of L'chumer Makshinan and ask ourselves what exactly this is all about. What's the nature of this principle, L'chumer Kul L'chumer Makshinan? Where did this come from? What are the parameters of this din? How does this place make any sense? In a Sefer Asven D'Araisa of Yosef Engel, Yosef Engel wrote a Sefer called Asven D'Araisa. There's a big problem with the Sefer. You know what the problem with the Sefer is? How many Oisis are there? There's only 22 Oisis in the alphabet. So he had 22 Shtikl Torahs to write, so he called the Asven D'Araisa. You know, the problem is, at the end of the Sefer, he had a few more things to write. So he stuck in a few, 5, 6, 7 other more, didn't change the name, it's such a catchy name of the Sefer. So if it's Asven D'Araisa, if you count up the Shtikl Torahs, you got more than the Oisis in the Torah. So what can you do? What? Yeah, you got a few more, Yeah, you threw in a few extra for good luck. Okay, no one's counting anymore. So Rabbi Isai, in the Sefer Asven D'Araisa, so Rabbi Isai raises the Poshet Chakira, the basic fundamental Shaila as to how to understand the Chumah Kula Chumah Shina. We have a klal in Halacha called Tzveika D'Araisa L'Chumah. You have a Shaila for Shabbos, is it also the Motiv? It's a D'Araisa Fi Machmir. You have unresolved doubt, because Kashrus is also a Motiv, you gotta be Machmir. Tzveika D'Araisa L'Chumah. Is this klal of l'chumra l'kul l'chumra makshinan just the corollary of that rule of sfeika d'araisa l'chumra? It means I have a hekesh in front of me and I have absolutely no idea what to do with this hekesh. I don't know which direction to go. I pasha don't know. Maybe A, maybe B, maybe I don't know. So b'teira sofek, I have to be machmir. L'chumra l'kul l'chumra makshinan is a klal b'teira sofek, or klal b'teira vadai. I don't know what the answer to the question. I don't know. Do me say, I don't know. I have a suffix. As I say, I don't know if I said it already. This year, we've said it many times in the past. You know, people like to be pushed at all the fakest in life. When you're a little kid, everything's got to be, you got to know exactly what you're doing. Talk to a little kid. You know, they'll tell you exactly, they'll plan out their life for you. Everything's going to happen. The concept of having fakest is as you get older in life, you realize you're fakest. And there are a lot of fakest that you should never appreciate. You have to live life with fakest. That's just the way the world is. But we say that if not for Sveikas, we wouldn't have had the Sefer Sheikh Shemaitza. We'd be so much less of Torah without the world of Sveikas. So L'chumah Kul L'chumah Makshinan means that I'm darshing a pasuk, I'm trying my best, I'm trying to figure out what to do, and I don't know, I throw my hands up, what do you do? So the halach of Sveikas Derais L'chumah kicks in. L'chumah Kul L'chumah Makshinan. This principle, L'chumah Makshinan, is true b'teira sofek. We are not sure that the piece of meat is asur. We are not sure that I'm not allowed to do this on Shabbos, but l'chum 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 makshin forces me to speak the rice l'chum to be machin. Or maybe one can understand how l'chum 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 makshin has nothing to do with speak the rice l'chum. L'chum 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 makshin means there are details of all the klali haTorah. Kal v'chomer. Kal v'chomer has certain rules to it. There are certain applications, certain limitations, those are sugyas of Kal v'chomer. There's a principle of Dayo, and there's machlokes that run about when Dayo applies, when Dayo doesn't apply. The rules of Gzeirah Shavos. There are klalim within Gzeirah Shavos, and there are klalim within Klal Prats, and there are details within Mamatzinus. This is all part of Tesha Mepech. Kadosh Baruch was Meisah to Meisha Rabbeinu, the Midah Shefter, and explained to them how to work these klalim. One of the details of Hekeshim is whenever you have a Hekesh, you have to grab the most. You have to go for the most, for the highest stakes. That's the midah of the hekesh. L'chumra makshinan. Anything that could possibly be derived from the hekesh has to be gone for. You can't take this lackadaisical approach to hekesh and say, well, you know, we'll go for a little bit. We're not going to gamble. No. A hekesh means whatever you can throw into the hekesh has to be thrown in. Any chumra that can end up emanating from this hekesh has to be applied, has to be extrapolated. It's not b'teira sofek. It's b'teira zvadi. That's the way hekesh works. You have a problem with it? Go ask Meshur. Go ask the Ben Shalit. That's why the Ben Shalit was based on the cloud to Meshur Benu. A hekesh goes l'chumra. Not because we don't know what to do. Not because we're in doubt. Because kach yamidish b'teira. Hekesh always means do as much as you can. Whatever can be included will be and must be included in the hekesh. Kach yamidish b'teira. So to use the yeshiva shalingo, l'chumra makshir is not b'teira sofek. Is b'teiras what? What's the opposite of Sofik? Pater is Vaday. Once we have a halacha that's been derived from the Chum of Kula Chum Akshin, we no longer are misupik about it. We know it's true, because that's the way Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Ibrahim Shalom. Kum Dr. Vias of England says, that's the Shach V'tayin, the Tosis that Kim Mabaka. Tosis, for the Kasha, a Gavalika Kasha. It doesn't make any sense to be Makish L'chumra by Mominus. What was Tosis Kasha? Tosis thought in the Kasha, that what? It's only B'Torah Sofek. It's only B'Torah Sofek? So you can apply the rule of Sveika Deraisa L'chumra, which is the ultimately the source, the root of the Chumra Makshin, and Tosis thought. That doesn't make any sense. We never apply Sofek Deraisa L'chumra by Dinim Mominus, because Chumra Zeh Kul Lazeh. So therefore, Tosis thought in the Kasha, it's ludicrous, it's absurd to apply the principle of the Chumra Makshinan in Mominus, because that's as absurd as applying Sveik Derais L'chumra by Dina Mominus. What was Rabbeinu Tam Chadesh? What did Rabbeinu Tam discover? What did Rabbeinu Tam change? Rabbeinu Tam says, no, you misunderstood the Klal. You, my Tamidim, the Ve'im Taimer in the Kasha, the Taizim who asked the Kasha, but the Taizim who borrowed the Kasha, Rabbeinu Tam said, you missed the boat, you misunderstood the Klal. That's Rabbeinu Tam changes the tune, and he says, V'yem Rabbeinu Tam, demida hi b'teira. It's a midah shebetayra. What does midah shebetayra mean? That's the way it is, b'teira z'vadai. Anything that can be included in the Hekesh is automatically included. So now, we have a shayla here, v'shilach. Does v'shilach mean this or does it mean that? So the whatever it can mean, make it more. V'shilach is all the time. Ubir is all the time. Ayah can be less than, no, but all the time. Every possible case of a shilach is chayav, whether you were mishalach, whether you weren't mishalach. Every possible permutation of vir is chayav, whether it consumed it, whether it didn't consume it. Why? Because midahi b'teira. Ay, it's a nimtza to chum lozeh v'kul lozeh. Who's talking about tzveikis? Who's hakan a chaynik about tzveikis? L'chum b'kshin is b'teira z'vadah, not b'teira sofik. That's how you read a tesis. That's how Rabbi Yisrael Engel read a tesis. That's what Rabbi Tam meant. That was the Shach V'Tayin. That was the Havamina that was the Torah Sofek. Maskana is the Torah V'Adai.
The idea is that the Haggish just includes everything.
Yeah, everything. You name it.
Then why can't I just go the opposite way? And I learned from Shane to Regel that I'm not Chayim Pan.
No. That means everything. Whatever could be included in the Parasha, Shane is included. So Shane is all-inclusive. Regel is all-inclusive. You have a choice between limiting Shane to Regel or extending it. Extend it. That's what L'chumra. L'chumra doesn't mean Chumra. L'chumra means whatever you can throw in for good luck, it's thrown in.
If there's something that would turn out to be a leniency at the end of the day, that would also be included in the package.
No. Any you have a Shiloh where the Shane applies, doesn't apply, it applies. You have a Suffolk where the regular part, it applies. Any halacha, whatever, the more the merrier. That's what L'chumra L'kulum means. Don't limit it, the more the merrier. Not B'tor Suffolk, B'tor Chumra. L'chumra is a catchphrase. It doesn't really mean a Chumra in the sense of it's a Suffolk of L'chumra. It means all-inclusive.
And the reason why back in Kiddushin regarding...
Well, this is all introduction. We're still in the introduction. Hold on. We're going to get to conclusion. Got a long way to go still. We got another half hour Shia.
But just based off what
the
answer here, because it's impossible to include
both. We're getting there. Got to build up the suspense first.
I understand the way this kiluk was presented from a real Sivengel. Tosfos' approach is that this is really, when you have a suffix derived, so you're going
the phone. That was Tosfos' Vim Tiber.
Right.
Now, the Yesh Loim of Rabbeinu Tam is Mitzvah.
So, according, again, this is all within a real angle, where does this so come from that whenever that you're Dorish things and you include them as much as you can, and whatever there is to expound, it's expounded and you include.
That's what the words mean. The Gemara uses the phrase, L'chum L'chum L'chum
L'chum. It's not even one of the 13 from Rabbi Shmuel. Where does this whole
Yisrael. It's the 14th
from?
One. It was also.
Where does he expound that such an idea exists that I could just Dorish whatever I.
The Gemara. Amidas Hekesh is a Midas Shabbatar Shindrash Shabbat, right?
Right.
Okay, the Gemara is 5,000 places, the Hekesh will play. The Gemara does use the phrase, L'chum L'chum L'chum.
Right.
Okay, good. So Rabbi Tam said, what do the words mean? What it means is B'Torah Zvadeh. That's part of the Midah Hekesh. That's exactly what Rabbi Tam says. It was part words of the Midah Hekesh. That's what Chazal meant when they said L'chum 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 L'chum. That meant that Hekesh Kach Nimsel Moshe Rabbeinu, that Hekesh is all-inclusive.
It's just such a tremendous jump in a Chiddush because he just sort of created what this is cloud that the Chazal talked about, what's going on with it, as opposed to the view of Tosfos that it goes on a principle that's already, it's predicated on something that already exists.
Right. Rabbeinu Tam is a big mechadish. That's right. That's right. The Tam was not, you know, was not afraid to mechadish things.
Okay.
If he didn't like his grandfather's tefillin, he told you. If he didn't like the way people were keeping Shabbos till any Shabbos early, he told you. Whatever, Tam, no fear. Wasn't afraid of anybody. So this is the least of his controversial things. Heligam Benetam is chusa yogein aleinu. Okay. Moichel, if anything, disrespect the Heligam Benetam. Benetam knows that. Sometimes when I talk in Shiur, you know, the live enough to Rishonim, it's never, everyone should understand that it's never met mitoch. You know, it's only met mitoch, such ava of the Gedele Rishonim that you have to, it's like when the Rishonim are in front of you, so you have to liven up. You gotta mama see the Rishonim in front of you. So sometimes I get a little bit carried away. But I don't mean it, I never ever mean it in any disrespectful way. I hope everyone understands that from day one. Yeah.
I would apply in this case, but in general, if we make a case of all inclusive, could it potentially lead to, someone mentions work, could potentially lead to a kula?
Yeah, we're getting there. Hang in there. Wait. I have no idea if that's the right time. Yeah, it is the right time. Okay, we got another 20 minutes. Hold on. So Rabbi Isai, Rabbi Tam's counting the day here. Because the first the kash of the Tamidim to be rejected, because Lamaisa the Gemara is forget, the Gemara is supporting Rabbeinu Tam. Not so fast. So the sheet Mukubetzes in Baba Kama. I don't think I put the sheet on, did I? Yes, I'll tell you about that. So the sheet Mukubetzes in Baba Kama, the Oidye Shalima to the original kasha. Rabbeinu Tam is not the only answer in Rishonim. The sheet that quotes from Rabbeinu Yeshaya. The Rabbeinu Yeshaya said, no, there's a different teretz of the kasha. So to Rabbeinu Yeshaya, normally indeed Imamanis, taka, l'chum makshirin doesn't make any sense. Because that normal take indeed Imamanis is that you can't say chum bakula because it's chum lazeh kul lazeh. But nezek is a different parasha, so to Rabbeinu Yeshaya. By mazik, our neti is going to be, in uchas mazik, to make a guy pay. The starting point of Dina Mamnus usually is, you know, we're not going to make a guy pay too much if we have Tzveikis. But in Mazik, we're going to really hit you over the head when we can. You know why? Because you see that the Torah itself was so machmer and mazikim. And how do you see, where do you see the Torah so machmer and mazikim above and beyond the call of duty? How does a Mazik pay? If a Mazik damages, where does he pay from? Mate of Sadeh, mate of Karim. Zan Aposik. Ki Avarish. How does it go? Who? That din of meitav is going on. All the mazikin in the Torah, not just those two. All 24. Who learned from a comment of hey? Who remembers the four magic words? What are the four magic words that teach us that meitav goes on all the mazikin in the Torah? 24 of us mazikin in the Torah. Tachas tasin yishalim kesef. Four-way gzereshava, right? One of the most complicated gzereshavas in all of Shas. A four-way gzereshava that ends up teaching us that all the mazikin in the Torah pay the meitav. So you see the Torah is bopping the guy over the head. Nobody else pays meitav. If I borrow $100 from you, when I pay back, if I don't pay back cash, you're going to go get my karka. Which karka are you going to get? You're going to get Isaac and Yadziburis. So I own this Gvalga land. I own office space in Midtown. Mamish, Edis, it's worth it's the best of the best. That's high quality land. I owe you $100. So you have no right to go take a little part of my corner or my office, $100 worth. No, I can dump on you at Midaraisa. I got some land in the middle of Wyoming. Nobody wants it. No one ever heard of it. I can give you, as long as it's worth $100 in the marketplace, I can give it to you. Go deal with it. It's your problem. All right, Midaraisa, I hiked it up to Bainus. I got to give you something. You know, it's not quite Manhattan. It's not quite Wyoming. Somewhere in the middle. Teaneck. Whatever. Somewhere halfway. Okay? It's not the five towns. It's only Teaneck. Okay, so it's only Bainus. Okay, Rabbi say. So Zokta bin Yeshaya, you see that the neti of the Torah is to be machmir on mazikim. So since the neti of the Torah is to be machmir mazikim, we can say l'chumah makshirad with a straight face. We don't have to be so worried about l'chumah kul l'chumah. We could go in the direction of chumras, what we would never have thought of doing in Dina Mamanis. What do you see from Rabbi Yeshaya, Rabbi say? No, what do you see from Rabbi Yeshaya? That he had another solution to the problem and didn't have to go down the route of Rabbeinu Tam. Didn't have to force the same Midi Shiva Torah. Rabbeinu Yeshaya is trying as best as possible to salvage what? What is he trying to hold on to for dear life? Rabbeinu Yeshaya is what? That it's almost still a suffix. Because it's really a suffix. Maybe not a real bona fide, maybe not a 50-50 suffix. Rabbeinu Yeshaya is trying as best as possible not to be forced to compel him to the corner like Rabbeinu Tam was. So Rabbi said, we have a machlokes Rishonim about this very nekuda. is l'chul makshirim b'taras. Sofik is l'chul l'chul b'taras ba'adai. Rabbi say, now let's analyze the shal. That was an introduction. Let's go back to Kedushin and Sanhedrin.
Maybe he also holds ba'adai because he thinks this is a chumrah.
He holds ba'adai everything. Once he says b'taras ba'adai, when you have to call chumrah, why does he have to run to the fact that Nathan
says that Ezekiel?
No. The chumrah doesn't mean l'chumrah. If you hold it b'taras ba'adai, it means all inclusive. It doesn't really mean chumras and kulas. That's just a made up lingo. So Rabbi said, let's go back down to Gehra's story. Every Shiloh, right? A non-Jew comes, he wants to convert. I want to know, do I need one dayan or do I need three dayanim? I have no idea. Mamish, no clue. So I open up a chumash, the Torah says, Mishpat Echad, oh, Gevaldik, okay, Mishpat, it's called the Mishpat. I scratch my head, I learn Sanhedrin. Wait a second, which Mishpat is it? Is it the Mishpat of Aldos, Vavos, the Mishpat of Zeos? I have no idea. I have no idea what to do. Mamish, no clue. Subtizing Kedushin. L'chumra l'kula, l'chumra makshinan. Go for broke, go for three, don't suffice for one. Okay? So go ahead, and I don't follow what Tosfos just said. Okay? I go ahead and I take one dayan. Not three, I go for one dayan. Is the guy Jewish or not? I want to know. I'm playing out l'maisa, right? I'm sitting in my Gairus office, non-Jew comes, I convert out, there's no one else around, I call up all of the Yonamar on vacation, I do it by myself. So I want to know, is the guy Jewish or not? So if you hold, what? Okay, we'll go backwards. If you hold, that l'chum l'kul l'chum makshidim was only b'toras, what? Toras suffik. I can't see with a straight face, the guy's not Jewish. He may be Jewish. Can I ask him to turn the light on for me? Can I ask him to turn the light for me next Shabbos? How can I ask him to turn the light for me next Shabbos? Maybe he's Jewish. Maybe the guy is Mischal. On the other hand, if he shechts my animal, could I eat it? No, because maybe what? Maybe he's not Jewish. Maybe he's either Jewish or not. If the chum v'lekul v'chum makshin is what's the engine behind this requirement of three dayanim, how can Rabbi Yechon say Geretzer Shloish Mishpat Ksibe with the absence of three Tagoy? He's not a goy; he's a Sofik goy, Sofik Yisrael. How can you use the Chum LeKul LeChum Makshinah if the Chum LeKul LeChum Makshinah is only because of Sofik? How can that be what's behind Rabbi Yechon's statement? It doesn't make any sense. You can't pass in a Geir Shailen like that. You can't tell me I need three b'teres. If the whole din of the Chum Makshinah is only b'teres Sofik, the application of the Chum in Hilchos Geirus doesn't make any sense. Ella of Karchach. What do you see from Tais and Kedushin, Daf Samach Beis? When Tais and Kedushin, with a straight face, use L'chum Makshinon in Uchaz Geirus, they must have held that L'chum Makshinon is a what? Is Nishkin Sofek, or is what? Tais Vadai. That means you have a choice, either one or three. Mita Hishaba Taira. Make it as much Mishpat as possible. As mishpati as it can get, that's the way it's got to go. Not because we don't know which mishpat to emulate, but because that's the midah shel Torah. The same way we say v'shilach applies all the time. You need the most chumadik version of v'shilach uvir. You need the most quote unquote chumadik version of mishpat. Not because we don't know which to go, because kach nimsalah, that's the way it is. B'Torah is v'adai. Any rishon who's going to use the chum makshin and hilchas geirus is not going down the route of suffik, going down the route of v'adai. Can we begin to understand now why Tosfos and Sanhedrin shied away from that? Could it be that the reason why our Tosfos shied away from L'chum Makshinan and rather preferred to go down the convoluted route of yesterday's shiur of Mishpat Echad, the Shed of Rabbi Yechon, also holds in the three dayanim, Tosfos couldn't believe it's an etz. Tosfos couldn't believe that Rabbi Yechon had an option of 103, because if you have an option of 103, nothing's going to get you to three. Because the chum makshinon is not going to help you. Because the chum makshinon is not a b'taras suffik. You can't declare a guy Jewish or not Jewish based on tzveikus. So Rabbi said, when you read the Tosfos now, everyone read the Tosfos in Sanhedrin. Everyone read the Tosfos in Kedushin. Everyone realized there was machlokes 2 days in Tosfos. Everyone read the Tosfos in Bava Kamma. Who here realized, when you read the Tosfos in Bava Kamma, the Maamar Kavos, who here realized that Shach V'Tayr, that Kash and Teretz, the Tosfos Rebbe, the Talmud Rebbe Yeshaya, is he Gufa Machlokes, the Kudat Machlokes in 2 days in Tosfos Sanhedrin Kedushin. Everyone realize that? Who here sees that now? Clear as day? No Sveikis, right? Torah's Vade. Okay, good. Yeah.
This idea that it comes out of a suffix. That means the Kosh Baruch set up a hekesh in one direction, and Kosh Baruch set up a hekesh in another direction. So the Torah Kadosh is suffix for us in halacha.
It happens. It happens. Okay. That's singing chulin about that. Do you have psukim that are addressing the fact that we have certain svekas? That's a good question. No, chenam. Some of Shem are going to learn that.
They don't care that the equation from a clue are different about the common execution. Here it's like a reflexive relationship going both ways, but here it's like the command gears to one or two different things.
Well, it's going to have enough gemin as ladin. There are chumas akulas. Can you say being Jewish is a chum rakula? Depends which area of halach you're looking at. No, it's the same kind of idea. So Rabbi Sai, I'm going to ask a very gutsy question. Who's right? Is Taiz by us right? Is Taiz the Kedushin right? Do you have any rais from the Gemara? Any rais from the Gemara? No rais from the Gemara? Nobody has any rais? Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
All the way back. Let's stick to the rais anymore. Any rais from the Gemara? No rais from the Gemara? If you have a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, what did I say the other day when we quoted this Gemara? We just quoted this Gemara in Rosh Hashanah the other day. I said this is the first of many times we're going to be quoting it. Okay, here's the second. Comes the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Kaf Hei Amud Beis is discussing how many dayanim do you need for what? For Kiddush HaChodesh. Now, we know you need dayanim for Kiddush HaChodesh. That's not a question, because what does it say in the Pasuk? Mishpat L'Elokei Yaakov. I want everybody in 2 weeks from now, when you say those words, when you say on Shofar's Tika b'chay de Shofar b'kasi b'chagenu ki chayk itzal mishpat l'lokei Yaakov. I want you to realize the significance of that phrase mishpat l'lokei Yaakov. It's referring to a chaydish, kiddush a chaydish of a chaydish. It's a mishpat l'lokei Yaakov. Comes the Gemara and says we have a tradition that pasuk is referring to the fact that kiddush a chaydish requires dayonim. It's a ma'aseh beis din. The pasuk is in where's that pasuk? Maybe you have a different nusach in your davening. Over divrei kachukha kasuv lemu. What does it say? Tiku b'chol. Isn't that one of the shofar's pesukim? No? Tiku b'chol de'ashofar. It's not? No Baal Tefillah's here? Who remembers? In a long time since Rosh Hashanah. Okay, I think it's one of the pesukim. No, it's not in the shofar's. Sounds good. Should be. If not, it should be. Okay, it's there. I think it's one of them. Okay? Even though that pasuk is in Tehillim, this is no doubt an example of what the Gemara sometimes says. There were certain halacha moshim sinais that were alluded to in Tanakh. Nevi'im and Ksuvim are referring to pre-existing halacha moshim sinais. There's no question to din derais. There's not a shailah under the sun. They require a maisa based in the Kiddush HaChodesh. The only issue the Gemara is not 100% clear about is how many dayanim are there. So the Gemara says, quote to Mishnah, that one is not good enough. You need three. So Gemara says, How do you know you need three? Maybe one's good enough. And the Gemara even says, makes reference to the fact we have precedent that sometimes one is good enough. Dinim avinus, sometimes one's good enough. Right? So Tosis on the spot starts scrambling and says, well, one's good enough for Dinim avinus. Who is this Gemara? Who is talking on Rosh Hashanah Chag Chei? So who does Tosis quickly attribute this line to Gemara to? To Shmuel, to Rav Acha, to Rav Igra, anyone who believes that Hados Vavos, one is good enough. If you hold that there's no such thing as a Mishpat with one, so then this Gemara is just non-existent, right? So Gemara is a Havamin, a wild Havamin, maybe one's good enough. Maybe one dying Kiddush HaChodesh is good enough for a day Echad. So that Havamin, that one is good enough, Zok Tosfos says that's obviously Rav Acha, Rav Igra's language. Anyone who holds that you need three for all, the Irparshas people, they wouldn't even have that half a minute. So Gemara says, Kamashbu on the Mishnah, that you need three. The Eimahachinahami, the Gemara says, it's a good half a minute. It's not such a good half a minute. Maybe it should be a maskana. Maybe one is good enough. The Gemara says, maybe one dying is good enough for Kiddush HaChodesh. Efshe one dying is good enough for Kiddush HaChodesh. Right? Efshe one dying is good for Kiddush HaChodesh. The Gemara says, no, it's not true. You know why? How do you know one dying is not good enough? What does the Gemara conclude? The Torah itself says you need two, and two never really means two. Two means two plus. So there's some other dayan who's hanging around there also. So you need three. One is not an option. So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Kav Chema Beis, it's clear as day that we needed a gezeiras a kos of a chiddush a Torah. Meishav Yaron Ksiv Bevarisha. to be malami to us this din deraisa, that one dayan is not good enough, because otherwise they would have made a case to say that one dayan suffices, because chad nami kosher by hodos vavos. Right, everyone get the floor, but that's the shakma tayin the gemara. So the havamina was one dayan is good enough, because even though it's a mishpat, but some mishpat the matak is good with one dayan, kamash one exists across the nishtazoi. No? Comes the Turi Evin, Shagasai, right? Shagasai wrote, besides this, Shagasai wrote a Turi Evin, his parish in Rosh Hashanah. Comes the Turi Evin and says, wait a second, let's analyze this Gemara very, very carefully. Turi Evin read, Shagasai read every line of the Gemara very, very carefully. If not for the Gzeres HaKos of Moshe Aaron Ksiv, I could have made a valid case to say how many Dayanim are necessary. Give me a magic number. If not for the Gzeres HaKosov, one would have sufficed. Why? Because Mishpat. Really? Everybody agrees that some Mishpatim require what? Require three. Right? Everyone agrees Gzeres v'chavolos. Didn't you learn to that? That was never even a negotiation. Everyone agrees there are some Mishpatim that require three. So even the Rav Acha, even the Shmuel team, who hold that there's a concept, there's a model of mishpat of one, can see that there's another model out there, an equally valid model of three. And the Gemara was willing to tack on to the model of what? How many? Of one. And not for the Gzeres HaKosov. At the end of the day, the whole thing doesn't matter because Gzeres HaKosov and Mitzvah. But before that Gzeres HaKosov came into existence, before we discovered, we realized that Gzeres HaKosov, the Gemara was willing to make a case that one suffices. Aye, but there's also the model of three. How can you tell me one, three, one, three? How can you choose one over three? What's the Shagasai really asking? Why do you go for what? Go for three because l'chum l'kul l'chum makshinen? Zok the Shagasai, because l'chum l'kul l'chum makshinen is meaningless here. It's absurd to apply that here. You know why? I'm going to ask a funny question. If Rosh Chodesh is Monday or Tuesday, which is the chum and which is the kula? How silly a question is that? It's a silly question. Can't talk about a chum. Is Rosh Chodesh today or is it tomorrow? It's not, are we going to have Rosh Hashanah or not? It's just a question, are we going to tell you, you can't do melacha today, you can't do melacha tomorrow? You have to fast next week, or you have next Tuesday or next Wednesday? You can't talk about chum the kula by the mawadas. Whether it is Rosh Chodesh or not Rosh Chodesh, it's not that it's not going to be Rosh Chodesh, it's going to be the today or tomorrow. So there's only one dayan around. We'll declare Rosh Chodesh today, or we'll declare Rosh Chodesh tomorrow. That's not a chum l'kulas. So zok the Shagasai, the reason why the Gemara wasn't even geiris the chum l'kula was because in these areas of halachas of kiddush chodesh, that's like mominess. The concept of the chum l'kula doesn't make any sense. Like geiris, the concept doesn't make any sense. But zok the Shagasai, according to that Tosfos in Kedushin and Daf Samach Beis that applied the chum l'kula even in geiris, it also doesn't make any sense. But why did Tais and Kedushin apply it by Geirus? Why? Because the Tais and Kedushin was going to Ikveis who? Bikvis Rabbeinu Tam. The L'chum L'kula doesn't mean Chumras and Kulas and stringencies and leniencies. It has nothing to do with Tzveikis. L'chum, what does L'chum really mean according to Rabbeinu Tam? According to Tais and Kedushin, L'chum means go for what? Higher standard. Include everything. Go for the, shoot for the stars. That's what L'chum means according to Rabbeinu Tam and Tais and Kedushin. So if the chumra means shoot for the stars, when the Torah, the Navi, and the Pasuk in the Hillel calls Kiddush Mishpat, I have two options, one or three. I should have shot for the stars and gone for three right away. Not because it's a soft fake whether I need one or three, but because I have to give it the greatest level of Mishpat. The same way I have to give it the greatest level of Tashlumin. The same way I have to give it the highest standards for Geirus. You have to go for the top. Shoot for the highest standards. But you see clear from the Gemara that that is not true. You see clear as day, like the Shagasai, that if not for the Gzeres HaKosov of Moshe V'Aaron, I would have let you get away with one dayan. So the Shagasai, a raya brura from this Gemara against Taizim Maseches Kedushin, which according to what we're saying is not just a raya brura against Taizim Kedushin, but by default, who else is it a raya brura against? Tom, that's already scary. Shagasai is a gemar. It's a gemar. A shtarka gemar. It's a very, very powerful argument. The Shagasai makes. No? Everyone saw that when you read the Gemara Mashon? Didn't everyone realize that? You guys didn't read the Gemara like the Shagas Hai read them? It's a shape of the Gemara. It's mamish black and white. If not, for example, the custom of Moshe V'Aaron, I would have said one dayan is enough. What happened to the Chumul Kula? The answer is, it's silly, it's absurd, it's ludicrous, because this is Dishkin Chumras and Kulas. They don't speak this in Hilchas Kiddush HaChodesh. But according to Rabbi Yitzchak Gedushin, who invoked l'chum l'kul l'chum akshirim and even outside the realm of Sveikis, by Momenus and by Gerus, then the Gemara should have applied here also. That's a Shagas Hai. Gotta think about this one. I don't know how to save Rabbi Natan on this one. I don't know.
I don't see why the case of Gerus and the case in Rosh Hashanah are the same as Mominous, in that there's no such thing as a chum or kula, because we're not discussing whether or not Monday or Tuesday is a kula or chum, we're discussing whether one or three is a kula or chum.
Well, it does mean, at the end of the day, if it's only b'torah suffix, then who cares one or three? At the end of the day, I have a shaila, Rabbi. My shaila is, if you hold that chum or kshin is only b'torah suffix, I have a shaila. My shaila is going to be, do I have to fast Tuesday or Wednesday? That's the only thing that matters. I don't care how many dayanim you use to get a shechidish.
Why? Why can't that be the chumra? The chumra is discussing that you need three, which makes it harder to get to. So
that's exactly what we're saying. That's enough nafkamina between these cases. If you hold that the chumra is b'torah suffix, so then the only thing that really matters is what the totsa od halach l'maisa. If you hold that the chumra lakshina means in a general approach to midas hahekesh that we throw everything into the pot, so then it doesn't matter whether it's a chumra or a kula. That's exactly the nekuda that you're being made on. You're helping me. You just help me.
Why if they?
I'm not even sure you help me. Just give me credit. Help me.
Just because they hold vada, I mean, mom say that vada means that you bring in as much.
Right.
Why does it automatically guarantee three dayan over one dayan? Those are two separate.
Well, it guaranteed it by geiros. That's exactly what Tosafot and Kedushin. Tosafot and Kedushin. You have an option: three or one. Go for three.
So
right.
Well, why can't also we can? Why do we have to say Rabbeinu Yishaya? Meaning, why can't we get Rabbeinu Yishaya here and say Rabbeinu Yishaya doesn't? Can involve something vadai. He has his own vadas, but it has nothing to do with.
But Rabbeinu Yishaya is not in trouble. Rabbeinu Tam's one is in trouble.
But I'm saying everyone could just say the vadai is that the lashon is the chumra machina. So we go the chumra. It has nothing to do with. Because the vadai doesn't really match the lashon. Because vadai is, if you're just going to bring in as many occasion as possible, as many limudim, then theoretically, you
may
bring in a kula. So
no, the chumra means that any possible halacha that can be thrown in, we're going to go for the most quote unquote chumritic version of the halacha. Even though down the line it's going to impact on kula, it's going to have kulas down the line. That doesn't matter. When you're being down in the hekesh, being down the hekesh, you go in the direction of chumra. Every chumra is going to be a kula. That doesn't make sense.
But on the simple understanding, if we didn't have this scenario, like 9,000 then we could just say it means the chumra. And it happens to be, in this case, there is no l'chumra in the case of Rosh Hashanah, so therefore...
There is a chumra. Ask for three dayanim instead of one. That's a chumra. We want to be lazy. We want to get away with one dayan. No! Be machmir and find two more. Okay? So Rabbi Sai, so what do we have here, Basel? For a second. So we have... Why are we talking about all this? Because Taisa Sanhedrin led us down a path. Taisa Sanhedrin were trying to show us that even the anti-Erev Parshas people must ultimately subscribe to three dayanim. And the proof positive was Rabbi Yochanan. Tosafos has made a whole deal about the Rabbi Yochanan statement, Yevamos Getzer Shloisha, was the proof positive. That was the Machmir Vatish, or Tosafos' theory, that there's some other drush of Mishpedechad lurking in the background. That was Tosafos' theory. And they then proceeded yesterday, Shia, to explain to all the parameters of that new drush that we never heard of. Tosafos Kedushin didn't go down that route. But Taisa Kedushin went down a different route. They introduced L'chum L'kul L'chum Akshin, which led us to believe that Taisa Bayez doesn't accept that, which led us to the Taisa Bava Kama, with the Rabbeinu Tam, with the Rabbeinu Yishaya, with the applications to Geirus and Kiddush HaChodesh and Mamonis. These are all the common denominator between Geirus, Kiddush HaChodesh and Mamonis. They're all examples of scenarios where the regular rules of Sveik and Deraisa L'chum break down. So does the klal of L'chum L'kul L'chum Akshin make sense in these areas of Mamonis, Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Yishaya? Does it make sense in the realm of Geirus? 2 days in Tosis. Does it make sense in the realm of Kiddush HaChodesh? Shaisai is arrived from the Gemara, that doesn't make sense. It sounds like these are all one big issue, a fundamental issue, as Rabbi Yisrael presented, the Tut Stadim L'chum Makshin. So Rabbi Sai, we have one last akut of the Sugya of tomorrow, and that is, so much of our Sugya was revolving around those two magic words, Erev Parshas, and we thought yesterday we had a pretty much down pat what Erev Parshas meant. We thought, Havah, Kiyuzeh, Zepikadah, Zahavah, you know, was there a bridge between the two parshas? But we have a little bit more work to do, because remember when we started the sugya yesterday, I said, I'm going to keep on referencing Rashi's understanding of Yerapash, because it's the simpler of the two. Hopefully that's what we'll see tomorrow. There's the problems with Rashi's pshat. And there's another completely different understanding of the Rishon of what the base, what the words of Yerapashis mean. So we have to go back to the Gemaras in Bava Kama, some of those end of Gemaras, when the Gemara first brought up Yerapashis. If we go back there and come back to eventually complete the circle, what exactly Yerapashis really is all about. Okay, stop there. Who's coming for lunch? Who joined us for lunch?